Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, Scope fans, episode 207 coming at you. Our third episode in a row.
I think it's our first June episode, too.
Is our first?
June 1st or something, this will come out.
My birthday's right around the corner, guys.
Nobody cares.
You're not going to go shopping for me?
You haven't invited me to the party that you have every year that I never go to.
I will break some news right now. There will be no party this year. Yeah. My wife is...
My wife.
My wife is getting a fairly... dramatic surgery, which will knock her out for a little bit, and we're just not going to have a regular birthday party this year.
Okay. Will you do anything festive, or are you just going to hang out at home?
We probably will not even be around this weekend, this upcoming weekend.
Oh, that's right. You might travel.
But we may have something, some sort of party, or maybe Jared can have a party sometime in the future, and then we can all sort of celebrate together.
Always comes down to me, doesn't it?
It always
does. I'm the guy who's got to make things happen, I guess.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah. Well, sure. I only have one thing to say about that.
Thank you, Jared.
What's that from?
That's from Silicon Valley.
Oh.
Thank you, Jared.
Can I call you OJ?
Thank you, Jared.
Original Jared?
Sure.
Anyway, we've got a great show, guys. I'm excited for the upcoming part of our episode 207. We've got an interview with Luke Ski.
Well, the great Luke Ski.
I mean, I don't call him that. You know that.
I think the cat is the real interview.
Spiral the cat.
Well, when we have the interview, we'll find out if there's a cat in said interview.
Uh-huh.
Luke's had a lot of, Luke's been a frequent contributor to the show.
Yes.
And he also has a lot of interesting things happening in his life. So I figured it'd be
Got through a big transition.
Yeah. So I figured we would.
Not quite a Bruce Jenner type transition, but.
We can hope. Fingers crossed. But I wanted to have Luke on to talk about that. Maybe talk about some of his TRU. That's Toys R Us. Experience.
Oh, I thought you were going with TRL.
Mm-hmm. Total Request Live. So
he's one of the screaming girls in the crowd.
I have a hunch that Luke will have a lot to say about what's going on. And I appreciate that because it is an interview and I'd rather him have a lot than not so much.
Look, I know a lot of you wonder why Luke Ski is on the show all the time, but it's because he's a mover and a shaker. He's doing things. Things are happening in his life. Yep. And so if you could get off your butt, I'm talking to the audience now. If you could get off your butt. You could make something astounding happen in your life and get a hold of us. We might have you on the show, too.
Basically, if you just get a hold of us. That's the main thing you have to do.
We'll make it astounding for you. We're spin doctors.
612-21 Scope. Tell us your life story and tell us why we should have you on the show.
Little Miss can't be wrong.
There we go. So let's take a quick break, guys. Mm-hmm. And then we will return with Luke Ski.
Two princes.
And a pocket full of kryptonite. Right after this.
Thank you, Jared.
Attention fans of funny music, Funk Fest is back with performances by Tim Cavanaugh,
Todd Chappelle,
Jessica Delfino,
Steve Goody,
Matt Griffo,
Insane Ian,
Drew Jacobs,
Mikey Mason,
The Great Luke Ski,
Smashy Claw,
TV's Kyle,
Carla Ulbricht,
and Worm Quartet.
Plus this year's special guest of honor, the Arrogant Worms.
I heard the screams of the vegetables. Watching
Funk Fest is taking place June 5th through 7th at the Westin North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, just outside Chicago. Tickets for the weekend are just $35 until March 31st. Join us for live concerts,
panels,
the Demented Dance,
dumb parody ideas,
Demented Karaoke,
and the 5th Annual Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music. Visit FumpFest.com to register for the event and reserve your hotel now. That's FumpFest.com.
I saw a man eating celery, so I beat him black and blue.
Foy.
Now it's time for the Scope exclusive interview. We ask the hard-hitting questions, even if you don't want us to.
Nice. Hey, we're back. It's episode 207. As I teased earlier, we're talking to Luke Ski. You might also know him as Luke. He's a friend of the show. He's been on many, many times. He calls in Jared. He contributes in many positive ways.
He's done some artwork.
He has done artwork.
Yeah.
Some very sexy artwork.
I think the rest of our listeners could probably learn a lesson from him and do more artwork.
Yeah. Our listeners should send in beautiful pictures of us at conventions. That would be great. So originally when we were going to have Luke on, it was related to our show how many weeks ago about Toys R Us. Luke also worked at Toys R Us back in the, Luke, was it late 90s, early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
So I'm going to sort of bury the lead, if you will, because the part of the show, part of the interview that I think is going to be most interesting is going to come a little bit later. But I just wanted to touch on, Luke, your work experience at Toys R Us to sort of complete the circle, if you will. You worked in the early 2000s. What was your job at Toys R Us? And then how did that compare to what Jared and I did over our time in the, I guess it would be early 90s to late 90s?
Well, there is a position at Toys R Us called the Store Receiving Specialist, or SRS.
Okay.
And when I initially came in, I was trying to get that position, and that's what I thought I was going to get. And then I found out there was this other lady who was there who had had the job for a few years, and that, you know, I found out much later, they basically brought me in because they wanted to, you know, figure out a way to, you know, fire her, get rid of her or something, because they didn't, I don't know what their exact problem with her was, but so I had to work just the registers and be a regular employee for a while before that finally happened. And then, you know, I, you know, took over that position. So what the store receiving specialist does is all of the big ticket, mainly electronics type items, you know, all of your video games and video game consoles, the stuff that, you know, would come in not off of the big, you know, tractor trailer trucks, but would come in via like FedEx or
UPS,
something.
Direct shipment.
Yeah. So I would have to check all that in and sign it into the computer, put it into inventory, blah, blah, blah. And then the video game stuff would go into the video game room, you know, what's that's under lock and key, because we used to have to, they may still do this, I'm not sure, where you have to just grab a slip of paper instead of the game itself, and then you go pay for it. And then after you've paid for it, you go to the other room and they, you know, the security booth, they call it.
Yes,
and
they
then
do.
They'd have, you know, call someone to security and then come over. And then I would open the door, go in and get their item and give it to them once I've seen their receipt. So that was, you know, that was one main part of that job. The other part of it was whenever there were recalls of, for whatever reason, it would be my job to, you know, go out on the floor, find all of the, you know, X amount of that item. The computer would tell me how many items of it we supposedly had, find it, bring it all back, and then box it up and send it back to the company or whatever. And also when people would return items, it would be my job to figure out a way to try to repackage it and then put like a markdown price sticker on it. And then, you know, put it back out on the floor so that, you know, we could still, you know, make some money off of some of the items that got returned. And, you know, some of that portion of the job was, you know, really annoying dealing with, like, for example, you know, people at the beginning of spring would buy one of those like large pools.
Sure.
Like, you know, it would be like a three or four foot high pool, you know, for their backyard. And they would, you know, they would buy it. It cost several hundred dollars. They would fill it up with water. They would use it all summer. And then at the end of the summer, they would bring the used pool back to the store and return it. Return it with some excuse like, oh, it sprung a leak. And then the people up front would take it back.
Of course they would.
And then there I am with a smelly 3 month old, you know, grass covered pool that it was my job to figure out how to either repackage so we could resell it or more than likely take it as a loss and mark it in the whatever category and have it shipped back to, you know, the main distribution hubs so that they could, I don't know, dispose of it or whatever. So I don't know. Yeah. So that was a whole other part of my job.
There were none of those taking back pools at the end of the summer shenanigans on my watch.
It sounds like Luke's job was sort of a combination of the best jobs at Toys R Us and the worst jobs.
Yeah.
So like, it's always fun to work with video games because
you have
total control over that.
You're just checking them in.
But I assume, Luke, like, did you merchandise those as well? So you'd have to put them out in the case if you got like a new model of the, you know, N64 or something like that? Or was that somebody else's job?
I think that was somebody else's job, but I got to tell you, I actually enjoyed working on Black Friday. I just thought it was fun and exciting, especially with the video games, because, you know, the GameCube was new back then, and, you know, just everyone was really excited about all the new video game technology and the new games coming out. So I just thought it was awesome to be there, like, you know, like I'm part of the, I'm a link in the Santa Claus chain of, you know, some kid's going to get really excited to get this GameCube. And, you know, I was part of that. So and I know that sounds.
Would they sort of just camp you out in security booth and then you'd just be the guy that would be constantly giving out stuff? Because that's what I loved about Black Friday, too. I mean, we'd have seriously stacks of hundreds of Genesis systems or Super Nintendos or N64s a little bit later. And just people just buying them one after another was, it was a bit of a rush. It was weird. And Black Friday back in those days was different than it is now. I mean,
you're not getting murdered and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't,
then.
I mean, it was a big deal, but, you know, Toys R Us would open it, you know, they'd open at 6 a.m. on that Friday. I mean, that would be the extent of what they would do. And then they would stay open until midnight.
Yeah, there were no, like, doorbusters.
Yeah, it just wasn't quite the same. And it sort of has evolved into this big machine slash beast that is a bit intimidating and not really all that fun.
Beast machine.
A beast machine.
I think it's more of a machine beast.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to say another thing about Toys R Us. I wanted to know if this is the same at your guys' place. The management didn't refer to it as Black Friday. They referred to it as Green Friday.
That term was thrown about just because it was money, money, money. So, but
yeah,
even Black Friday in those early days of us working there was sort of this weird thing. Like it, you know, it wasn't this institutionalized phrase that everybody understood. So maybe if you were in retail, you kind of knew what it was. But if you were mom and pop or whatever, or just, you know, Joe Nobody, that term didn't really mean anything like it does now.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't used in advertising and stuff. So.
So one last question, Luke, and then we'll move on to the heart of the matter. Jared and I sort of lamented the loss of Toys R Us because it had such an impact in our life, like this cascading thing where, you know, I mean, I met Jared there. And
the show exists because we work there.
Because we work there. Do you have any of that in your life, or was Toys R Us more or less just a job for you that, you know, certainly it has importance in your life, but you don't necessarily have connections to other people that work there?
Well, basically, I always was the kind of person who wanted to, if I had to get a regular, you know, retail job or day job or whatever, I always wanted to work somewhere that was a business that I was already going to anyway. Mm-hmm. So I've worked at a couple movie theaters, a couple video stores. But, you know, Toys R Us was one that I always thought, like, oh, it'd be so great if I could work there. And, I managed to get my foot in the door there and spent, God, I'm sure I was there at least a couple of years. And part of it was I was hoping to find a job where I could actually get health insurance. And for a while, it seemed to be I know I was working at least enough full-time hours to qualify for their health insurance. But then this one manager started intentionally scheduling me for, you know, just less enough hours so that I no longer qualified because he was trying the company money or something.
31.5 hours per week.
Yeah, exactly. So
funny how those tactics still happen.
Yeah. You would think that'd be illegal, you know, but who knows?
So it's like, you know, generally an alcoholic, you know, they don't allow that person to get a job like at a bar or at a liquor store. So I was an action figure collector. Mm-hmm. And also because this was my father passed away in 2000 and left me a decent amount of money that I had been, you know, living off of sparingly. And, you know, so I had this, you know, big pile of money sitting somewhere. And now here I am working at Toys R Us where all the action figures are. And this was like the heyday of Toy Fair magazine and so huge. And, you know, it's like the Simpsons action figures were out and the Muppets action figures were out. All the like suddenly all the things that I always wanted to have action figures of, there they were. And I had money and it was, you know, yeah.
And first crack at them.
Exactly. So if you look at the possible Oscar puppet video I made for the song My Figures, mm-hmm. All the action figures in that video are mine. Wow. And there's literally hundreds of them. So, yeah.
We would call that the perfect storm of wasteful spending, or at least that's what my wife would call it. Yeah, I wouldn't be collecting action figures if it wouldn't be for Toys R Us. I mean, when we were there, action figures were still sort of, you know, coming out of the afterglow of G.I. Joe and Transformers. So and even those were faded brands, but slowly you started seeing things like the Toy Biz Marvel figures and then the X-Men figures. And then Star Wars hit along with, you know, right before that TMNT. And then it was like, wow, you know, you work here and you can get the Princess Leia figure or you can get the Invisible Woman figure. Nobody else can. And
I have them both in a box.
Yeah.
Right over there.
If I could go back and just talk to 1990s Shane and say, you know, just slow down on some of those because the vast majority of these things are going to be worthless and you're not going to care about them, that would be a smart move, I think. But what do you want?
Get there a mutual fund, kid.
Yeah. Invest in Apple, asshole.
Yeah, really.
So that was the very beginning of when Lego started doing, you know, crossover toy sets with well-known properties. So I was working when the first Lego Millennium Falcon came out, and I once drew a Star Wars parody comic book when I was in high school, where one of my funny jokes was that in that comic, the parody version of the Millennium Falcon was made out of Legos. And I'm like, haha, what a funny joke. And now it was a real thing. So I grabbed one and put it on my hold shelf so that I could get it later, because it was, they were charging like, you know, $100, $140 for it or something. And so I never quite felt like I had the money to afford it. So it sat there a while. And then one day, one of my managers said, Luke, that Millennium Falcon Lego on the hold shelf, is that yours? I'm like, yes. And he's like, well, that's the last one that we have in our stock for the entire state of Wisconsin. And we have a grandma on the phone from Wauwatosa who really wants to get that for her grandson. And I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, fine. She can buy it. So
I am the dream maker.
Yeah, that's what Luke said.
Luke, you sort of have some of the same hold tactics as our friend of the show, Earl Lucas, had. He had a hold. We weren't allowed to have hold piles. I mean, they were very.
We weren't allowed, but they still
happened. Yeah, they still happened. But, and as I recall, Earl and another guy named Neil, they had hold shelves that were like, you know, probably all of the action figure aisle. You know, I mean, it was crazy. And I think they found, and it got to the point where you were not, since you, it was really frowned upon that to have that. So they would hide them in the storeroom, hide items. And I think they found stuff from Earl and Neil for years, like hidden under shelves and like, oh, what's this Star Trek Next Generation figure doing out here when the show's been canceled for 4 years already? You know, just stuff would magically appear.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd mark them down to a penny and then someone would buy them. So there you go. Well, Luke, I think Toys R Us is great, but I think we need to move on to the
KB Toys. All right.
We're going to be covering KB Toys. And
guys, FAO Schwartz is closing down their flagship New York store. We want to talk about that?
Oh, my God. I don't.
We did talk about that already 2 weeks ago.
We did, when it was news.
So for all of our listeners out there that don't know, you can tell by looking at Luke with all the palm trees swaying in the background that he's not calling us from his comfy Midwestern home. He's actually calling us from near Hollywood, California. Why is he calling from that location, Adam?
It's Holly Weird.
It's Holly Weird, correct. That's because Mr. Ski is an official employee of the cartoon.
Mr. Ski.
He's an official employee of the Cartoon Network.
Excuse me, my dad is Mr. Ski.
You can call me Luke.
No, Dr. Ski.
Dr. Ski.
He didn't go to school for 8 years. We called Mr. Ski.
Fair enough. So he's working in a hot new cartoon called The Mighty Magiswords. I think that's how it's pronounced, Luke. So let's take a few minutes to find out how this real-life Horatio Alger, that's sort of the myth that I'm creating, how he pulled himself up from his nerdy bootstraps, landed a dream job, and made something of himself. I also want to find out what your wife thinks of all of this nonsense, since she is thousands of miles away from you right now, or at least 1,000 miles away from you. I mean,
yeah, it's a good 3,000 or so miles because she's in Chicago. I got to know a person by the name of Kyle Carroza, aka TB's Kyle.
Is he awake? Right? Is he in the house right now?
Yes, he's just over there.
Why don't you go jump on his bed and wake him up? Let's get that on camera.
Boingy boingy boingy. Hello.
Trying to play Pokemon.
Oh, there he is.
Give it down, damn it.
Hi.
Hey, Kyle.
We're talking to
Mr. Ski right now. He's excited about this.
He's here from Business Standards and Practices to make sure I don't say anything inappropriate involving Mighty Magiswords.
Fair
so,
enough. Well,
you know.
Go ahead. Tell them all about the show, Luke.
Turn into a plug fest. What's going on here?
Kyle and I got to know each other via the FUMP. We found out that we have very similar cartoon sensibilities because we both watched the same set of shows growing up.
Nothing but Heathcliff, Saturday. Correct? Nothing but Heathcliff.
Hmm? Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats.
That's it.
You know, with Riff Raff.
Oh, there he is.
Bronco, so.
turning into a real family show.
It really has.
Yes. This is Spiral. Spiral is loud. Yeah.
Yeah, I was in here talking, so he needed to be in here talking.
That's a big cat.
You like cats.
Yep.
And I thought this was going to be a sausage fest.
Hey-o.
So anyway, Kyle got a development deal at Cartoon Network back in 2013 and started working on this show called Mighty Magiswords, which is about a pair of siblings named Vamber and Prohias who are adventurers for hire. Yes, that's right, Spire. Adventurers for hire. And they collect these swords, which are all imbued with various magical powers that do crazy things. And they basically are out there trying to have fun fighting monsters and going on quests so that they can earn the money to go out and just keep buying more of these swords. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone who's a collector of cool things might really be into the show about people who collect cool things. Yeah.
Like a hamburger sword, for instance. I noticed something like that.
That sword is referred to as Excalibur.
Smart. So, see, that's why I'm not working on the show. I would just call it a hamburger sword, and that would be it.
So Kyle and his crew over there at Cartoon Network created a series of micro shorts for the Cartoon Network Anything app, and also a series of 3-minute-long cartoons that are more kind of full adventures. And those just got released about 11 days ago, or at least the
about
10 days, more like 87 minutes, 42 seconds ago.
So we all kind of found out at the same time, like, oh, they put the things out. Oh, this is it. So the first two episodes of the 3-minute long ones are up at the Cartoon Network website, so you can watch those there. They also put episode 1 on their YouTube page, so that's easier to share with people. And then the little micro shorts, there's 15 of them, are available on the Cartoon Network Anything app, which is a series of kind of quick games and puzzles and cartoons that kids can watch. And on those, there's a 5-second setup to a scene, and then you get to choose which Magisword you want to use. You have one of two options, and then you pick one, and then the rest of the cartoon plays out based on which sword you choose. So you can watch them more than once to see the, you know, different outcomes that would happen.
Poor cat over there. So it's a very choose your own adventure-y type of thing, an interactive experience, if you will.
Yeah. So once all of that stuff had been finished being created back in August, the people at Cartoon Network said to Kyle, "We want more content of this." And started forming, trying to figure out how can we make the team bigger and make more Magisword stuff. So Kyle told them, hey, I know this guy named Luke who's really into cartoons and has been writing and performing comedy of various types for years and, you know, is an illustrator. So I'd like to get him involved with this. So after months of stuff and me submitting to them accidentally a really awesome pitch. Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself by patting yourself on the back there, Luke. Come on. A little modesty here.
It's a great story because they had already been talking to me about just writing story ideas without me drawing anything. And Kyle asked me to do some practice stuff to pitch myself as a possible storyboarder as well.
Yeah, but, you know, I've seen plenty of Luke's comics, but Luke's doesn't really have any experience storyboarding. So one of the shorts was good and ready by the time, you know, we didn't really know we were going to be greenlit for.
Gotcha.
And so I was like, well, at some point we're going to be staffing up, but I want Luke to actually be ready. I want to be able to say with confidence that Luke is ready for this job. And so I was like, all right, I'm kind of going to like pretest you so I can guide you so you're actually ready by the time that comes along. And I gave Luke, so, you know, this show's about a pair of warriors for hire. Here's what I wanted them to do. Somebody, because, I mean, you know, this is an outline-based show rather than a script-based show, meaning that, you know, a storyboard artist is given an outline and they have to write based on what's in the outline. So I was like, Luke, here's all I want you to do. Somebody comes into Warriors for Hire headquarters, hires them, the end. And Luke, what did you do?
Well, the way it was presented, what he wanted was just the scene where I would like to hire you. Okay, I'll take this job. Sure. And then we leave and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like this, just that scene. I thought he meant he wanted the whole story all the way up to the point where they complete the mission. So he just wanted a short thing. And I submitted a 200 panel storyboard, which I then at the last, well, not really at the last minute, I had decided at some point while I was making it, you know, I could really present this better if I just recorded all the voices myself, made an audio track, and then took this a scan of all the art and made it into a rudimentary animatic with my video editing skills and sent that along as well. So I submitted a 9.5-minute animatic along with my 200-panel storyboard.
Wow.
After Kyle had just said, make this little thing. So basically, once Kyle saw it, his reaction was, Luke, you incredible weirdo. And then the same day, he at Cartoon Network, he showed it to his boss and his boss's boss. So so basically, by getting his instructions wrong, I kind of fell backwards into, you know, getting this storyboard revisionist position on Mighty Magiswords, which I started back on March 30th. So, yeah.
So let me ask you a question, Luke, because I think that is it's a fascinating part of the story, because the one thing you've not lacked in that I've noticed in terms of personal characteristics is your work ethic. I think you're one of the hardest working guys I know, and I appreciate that. So I'm curious about how you decided to do all of this work. I mean, was it simply a misunderstanding, or was there something inside of you saying, this is a really great opportunity for me, and I need to make sure that whatever happens, that I have put it all out on the table, and I've got to make sure that I turn this into something that's going to be a great thing for me? Like, where was your mind in all of that?
Well, the misunderstanding was genuine. I genuinely thought he wanted a whole story. The reason why it got to be such a large story was because I got to see all of the content that had been created thus far when I went out to Kyle and Lindsay's wedding last October. And having seen it, I just kind of immediately became such a fan of the show. I think it's really funny. I love the characters in it. I love the concept. So I kind of became an immediate hardcore fanboy of this show that nobody had seen yet, you know, except for, a handful of people who, you know, went to their wedding.
And that's one of the reasons I, you know, tried to get Luke involved, because at, you know, just before we got greenlit for the more stuff after we made the first stuff, we had brought in some, you know, potential collaborators, and none of them were really quite understanding the show. I don't know why they found it quite so hard to understand, but I got so irritated with people not getting it that I'm like, well, Luke's obsessed with it, and Luke could write. So
he might be our guy.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, because I came up with about, back before the storyboarding thing started, I came up with about 20 different ideas for stories, and Kyle helped me whittle it down to the 5 he thought were best, and then I talked to his boss, and then he, you know, generally very much liked 4 of those 5 ideas and then picked one that he thought would be the strongest to make into a potential episode. So that will hopefully be happening, that specific episode, you know, later. The actual storyboard I ended up making, you know, via that misunderstanding, it started out with kind of a basic idea, but there's so many cool recurring characters like adversaries that the Warriors face that pop up throughout all the shorts and episodes that I just kind of wanted to start working them in, kind of like, you know, a Sinister Six situation where it's like, you know, wait, all of these awesome recurring characters are showing up at the same time. So that's kind of
Luke was kind of using the characters in a Springfieldian way that we didn't really have room for in 3-minute episodes.
Sure.
So since he was making a 3.5-minute epic, yeah, he had plenty of room for them. Let's even close this because my cat's insane.
So
having an existential crisis over there.
So I don't really want to say anything about that because there's a chance that it might become something. But one of the aspects that I think impressed Kyle and his bosses is that there is a song
in
this
song.
There's a song in the episode.
Wow.
Well, that makes sense.
You got the assignment so wrong that there's a song in it.
So Kyle, let me ask you this, since you seem to be a bit of a big cheese, is what Luke,
I am cheese.
Or just cheese, is what Luke did, is, I mean, is that the sort of effort that people need to put into something they care about to make a splash and to get the attention of decision makers within businesses or,
you know, when
whatever,
you're
you know,
like Luke's, where he hasn't done this before and he didn't live here, it certainly helped.
Sure.
you know, he made something that I could say, you know, I could just like show to my higher ups and go, okay, guys, you got to see this. I don't know how you're going to react to it, but you got to see this.
That's that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not something that's necessarily required of someone, but it definitely made hiring Luke a no-brainer by the time we got to hiring people.
Yeah, in general, if you can do something that makes you stand out, you know, from the fleet of all the other people trying to get the same position, then that's for the best.
Sure. So,
and the,
go ahead, Luke. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, the position that I'm specifically working right now is storyboard revisionist, which basically means other people like Kyle or a couple of others are actually doing the main glut of the storyboarding, and then they show, you know, a full completed episode to the bosses, and then they also have a bunch of notes about things they want to change, like this gag doesn't work, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then after watching that and having the notes, it gets handed over to me, and then it's my job to make all those changes. So for what we've been working on thus far, virtually every episode has had my fingerprints on it in some way, because there's, you know, like, oh, here's this scene needs to be different, or this scene needs to be funnier, add another joke here or another gag here. So even though I'm not, you know, fully storyboarding yet, I'm doing a lot of content. There's an episode I'm particularly proud of. The entire end part of the episode is an action sequence, and I got to storyboard this entire action sequence, and it just came out really well. I want to tell you more about it, but I can't because it'll give away the jokes. Well, I can't.
And the thing is, it's an action sequence that I don't know that he would have been capable of, like, on day one.
Sure.
The nice thing about storyboard revisionist is that, you know, it's the closest we've got to on-the-job training for this kind of thing. You know, we don't really have... There's no such thing as an in-betweener anymore, so we don't really have much of a hierarchy in animation. So a position like storyboard revisionist is nice. Yeah. It's been... Having Luke in that position has been especially helpful because, you know, then we get kind of his voice throughout the show, besides him learning on the job. So... You know, he's figuring out all the stuff he needs to do. So, you know, by the time we're done with this season's worth of stuff and we move on to do more, I will have all the confidence in the world that he'll be able to move on to doing full storyboards.
Well, that leads to two questions. So you're doing storyboard stuff, Luke, but what's your average day like? I mean, how many hours are you putting in? You know, are they asking you to punch out and then work an additional 20 hours? We want to make sure that all the work stuff here is on the up and up.
Not on my watch.
No. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite. The hours are basically 9 to 6, and I, you know, I get about an hour for lunch that I can take whenever it's convenient for me.
Which
and
you always spend at Witch drawing things on the bags.
Yeah, you love to draw on bags.
But a lot of the times I'll be working on a storyboard and you know, I'll be worried about, you know, the deadlines or worried about, you know, just making sure I'm, you know, pulling my fair weight, and I'll go to Kyle and I'll just say, like, you want me to stay late and get this thing done? And he'll be like, no, go home.
It's a good boss right there.
No,
work smarter.
Overtime as possible, because I want everyone to, you know, feel good and just be able to put in their best stuff. I don't want them, like, working themselves to death. You know, I'll do a little bit of that, but that's on me. This is my show. I'm the creator. That's my problem.
Very smart. You know,
this is where the buck stops. So,
when there's things for me to do, I buckle down and I work pretty hard to try to get it done. There's a story I'm working on now that was particularly challenging to revise, let's just say, and I'm just putting the final touches on that when I left on at the end of the day on Friday. But once I get caught up and there's nothing for me to do, there are chunks of time sometimes when I have literally nothing to do. So I'll, you know, try to either invent work for myself or just find other practical ways to fill my time. I remember one of the first times that happened, I was walking into work with Kyle and Lindsay, and Kyle just said to me, don't be alarmed that you have nothing to do.
Wow.
Well, because I mean, I've been in that position before too, where like I finished the thing, I have to wait till the next person can delegate the thing. So I don't have a thing, and it makes me nervous. I know. I've been in that position, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy who has nothing to do, because suddenly it's like, oh, we don't need that guy.
Yeah. But really, it's more along the lines of, okay, I need to finish this thing so I can give you this thing. I'm going to get that to you as quickly as possible. You don't have any for an hour. Please enjoy your hour.
Sure. So I don't know if you can answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is the long play for this show? I mean, you know, you're sort of internet-based right now, is the idea that is how it always is going to be, or is this something where you wouldn't mind seeing it be a regular featured program on the Cartoon Network?
Which I am not allowed to tell you that.
Okay, well, just okay. I'll turn off the camera, and then you could tell me. Okay, it's off.
Okay,
go ahead.
We're not recording.
We're not recording anymore.
Yes, we are.
The only answer we'll give you is that there is more. We're working on this right now because there is more. And then after that's done, there will probably be more.
Will there be action figures?
I can't tell you that!
Will there be Happy Meal toys?
Lunch boxes, perhaps?
Now, okay. I want
a line of underwear?
They brought back underoos for men.
I can't tell you this stuff.
Scented candles?
I can't tell you this stuff.
Oh, my God. There goes
so you're
my,
saying
there goes my scoop.
We can keep asking, but you can't tell us.
Turn this interview off. This is what I was going for, and now nothing. We're telling no one about this. Well, Luke, one thing I want to say, and this is just going to be me blabbing on, but the thing that I've been impressed by, not beyond you know the fact that you sort of created this dream job for yourself, you didn't create it, but I mean you worked really hard to get it, is that I've been impressed with seeing some of the artwork that you've posted, because you know I've seen your artwork over time and. You know, you definitely have a style to what you do, but the stuff that you've been drawing for this show, I think it's showing a lot of growth in terms of, you know, just what the characters look like, how you're capturing the spirit of what they are, you know, action, that sort of thing. So it's kind of fun to see that stuff, like the growth in your skills and your ability. So I think it's an impressive thing, and you should be proud of yourself for that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Because this show is very much drawn in Kyle's style of drawing,
sure.
I've been trying to adapt, you know, the way I draw to, you know, be much closer to what he does. Because it's like, you know, because this is a Flash animated show, it's, you know, it's not necessarily as important for me to make sure that all of the drawings I do are on model. But part of me just really wants them to be as on model as possible
sure.
anyway. And Kyle actually helped me out a week or so ago. I just asked him if he'd, you know, sit down and, you know, draw the Magiswords characters and just let me watch him draw them. You know, so we did about 10 or 11 pages of just rough sketches just so that I could see how he does it to help give me a bit more of a, you know, clear idea of like, you know, the poses and the proportions and the through line of action kind of. Yeah, it's things. Kind of like the theories I'm going through as I draw, you know, characters' poses and how one pose will react to the other one, what's giving who power in a shot, things like that.
Sure.
Yeah, because I got a BFA in illustration from the Kansas City Art Institute, but they didn't have any formal animation training. So there's a lot of basic stuff that I never learned how to do because I never had a class, you know, in like, oh, squash and stretch and blah, blah, blah. It's like all these things I've just kind of, you know, heard about and seen in books or, you know, on DVD extras, the making of Who Framed Roger Rabbit or whatever, you know, it's like just trying to pick up on it as I went along. But yeah, it's definitely been, you know, an awesome learning experience and, you know, trying to improve what it is I do. So
a certain amount of it was osmosis too, because you kind of went from being the only guy around who draws to being around a lot of people who draw.
Which are probably very good and, you know, been doing it for a while, I would assume. So, in, you know, the Cartoon yeah. Network methodology, I don't know, whatever that would be, the animation methodology, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the Flash department, which is new you know, at Cartoon Network, is definitely, you know, it's not like one of those situations where it's like The Simpsons and they're shipping, you know, these episodes over to Korea to be animated. We're animating them all in-house, you know, there in Burbank. So
it's pretty great. There isn't a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Animation. I'm just kind of, you know, I didn't have to ask for that. They gave me that, and I'm really happy about it.
So when you say it's a Flash animated show, do you literally mean Adobe Flash is the tool it's used, or is that just a way to describe the technique?
No, we use the program. They use the program. Adobe Flash.
So somebody still uses Flash.
They're animators. That's who use it.
A lot of animation still does.
There's a lot of games on Newgrounds and stuff.
I guess. It's
pretty common.
Sometimes I don't know what stuff is Toon Boom Harmony and what stuff is Flash, but both are still being used.
So you use Flash to do the animation, and then does it get output to a different format, I'm assuming, for broadcast or streaming or whatever the outlet is?
Premiere.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
Okay, here's a question you guys can answer. What other Cartoon Network cartoons will you be crossing over within the future? Teen Titans, perhaps?
Only Uncle Grandpa, just to piss off.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Luke, if you just go over the list of all the other things you're going to pitch,
yeah,
go ahead.
The app does weird little, like the CN Anything app does weird little impromptu crossovers where, like, they'll have the Teen Titans running through another cartoon, but they're, like, using pre-existing footage.
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't know. It might be good to help. It might help to wait till people actually knew who we were, so crossover would be interesting to anyone.
That's just details, sir. I mean, that will work itself out, trust me. So, Luke, let's talk about the other major aspect of your move out to California, beyond just the fact you're in California. So we mentioned your wife earlier. How is she dealing with this? What is your life plans? Is the plan for her to come out there eventually? Or are you guys going to be like a flyover country / West Coast relationship? Or what's the situation? I'm very curious about this.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah, you know, after we got back from Colin Lindsay's wedding, Sarah was the one who said to me, you know, you really should talk to him about seeing if you could seriously get a position on the show. So she's been, you know, she basically got this whole thing started for me because I was probably, you know, too nervous to, to, you know, ask him that without her, you know, kicking me in the butt and, you know, making that suggestion first. So, and then once we did have a Skype video conversation with the two of them, I found out Kyle was already planning on asking me to submit something anyway.
You sly little dog.
So, you know, Sarah is incredibly supportive of this whole thing. And you know, it sucks to be away from her. It's the only real downside of this is being away from my loved ones and especially Sarah. She's working her awesome job at Jellyvision out in Chicago and as a web developer. And she, of course, our house is still out there. That's in her name.
Good move.
So, yeah, well, it's more like I had crappy credit up until.
Let's not get into that. Come on.
Yeah. I was able, my credit has improved to the point of being average enough that I was able to actually get a new vehicle without needing a cosigner. So
wow.
That's one, you know, one notch towards being less of a fake adult than I normally am.
Nominated for a 2015 Logan Award.
Yes.
Yeah, Luke, it'll take working in cartoons to make you a real adult.
The irony is not lost on us.
So I was able to get this vehicle, and Sarah was able to take the time off work to make the 3-day drive out to California with me via the kind of Route 66-ish route. And then she flew back, and so I have a vehicle out here so that I can get around L.A. because L.A. is a very vehicle society. You know, it's tough to be away from her, and I know that she has, you know, she has her belly dance troupe friends, and she games every night with Josh and Ken and this, and you know, so she has friends, she's social and stuff, so I know that she's not just sitting at home bored or whatever, you know, not that I would ever expect her to do that anyway, but, you know, I guess the hope is, it seems like I'm going to be out here for the rest of the calendar year at least, and very probably longer than that, so if we're just kind of taking this as it comes, and she may eventually join me out here. I certainly know she would love the weather out here way better than the Chicago weather because she hates the cold so much.
So maybe come fall, once things start to get cooler, a relocation plan might start to form.
Yeah,
Me and my wife are big fans of Sarah, so we're hoping that she'll miss him so much that she can't stand it, and hate weather so much that she can't stand it, and just move here.
Sarah likes to yell at me when she's drunk, and I think she probably likes to yell at me when she's sober, but definitely when she's drunk. Call me all sorts of mean names, Adam. But I loved it. It's just like hanging out with my wife.
So, Luke, you'll be back in the Chicagoland area for FunFest, well, probably this coming weekend as this show airs. Do you have plans to, like, regularly visit, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I was considering coming home for a visit, like at about the halfway point between when I got here and FumpFest, but with everything going on with the show and our lives and stuff, it just made more sense just to wait till FumpFest for the first official visit back. But, you know, now that I can afford it, you know, I am probably going to be heading home to visit, you know, once every month or two, as the production schedule allows. And I know I've some of my friends have already been talking about coming out here to visit. Carrie and Alex and Josh were trying to figure that out, and they decided they had to wait until the summer. So hopefully I'll get to take Alex to Disneyland. That's the other thing. I bought a Disneyland annual pass.
Wow, cool. That,
talk about lifelong dreams coming true. So yeah. And my very good friend slash ex-wife Stephanie already bought herself a train ticket. She's going to come out here on the weekend of July 3rd because that's her 40th birthday. So she wants to go to Disneyland on her 40th birthday. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
And but yeah, I'm very psyched to see Sarah and all my friends again when we go to Fump Fest, which is June 5th through 7th in Wheeling, Illinois, at the Westin Chicago North Shore, and I'll be performing there along with TV's Kyle and the Arrogant Worms, our guest of honor, lots of other awesome people. So go to FumpFest.com to find out the details. I'm performing on Saturday at noon, followed by the Logan Award ceremony concert at 1. Kyle, when are you performing? Do you know?
Yeah,
sometime during the weekend.
Can you guys believe this is the first time Luke's ever given a plug? And look how good he is at it.
I know. Professional. It's unnatural.
Well, it's like it's in his blood. So well, last question, guys. What are you doing to conserve water? Have you cut down all your almond trees?
What'd you say?
Almonds.
Almonds?
Those delicious nuts that take like 14 gallons of water per nut.
Almonds.
I never shower alone.
Perfect. Well, I figured. I didn't want to get into that sort of dicey area of you guys being roommates, but I figured there's some shenanigans going on.
And I'm converting to an all soda diet.
Soda does have water, as far as I know.
No
water.
All soda. No water.
All soda. Well, that's good to know.
We're not doing a Kevin Costner in Waterworld scenario where he's got to pee to water his plant. And
I'm going to write that down. The all soda diet.
Yeah,
that's on my list. All right, Luke, you have said it all. He really has. Cool. He's covered it all. Kyle, you've added to this conversation brilliantly.
Now, if both of you could just get on that bike in the background, I'd love to get that shot.
And if it's not a tandem bike, even better. Oh, it isn't. So give them a buck, as they say. So the show is Mighty Magiswords. It is on the internet. You can find that at cartoonnetwork.com.
Yes. Word.
It's out there. It's a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing. It's interactive. It's made on Flash, we've learned, Jared.
We have.
Outputted via Premiere. Mm-hmm. People still use it. Who knew? And it's great. You
know, now America knows.
And they've got a hamburger sword. May I suggest maybe like a hot dog sword? I mean, if you really want to go with a theme.
Maybe a kebab sword?
A Gouda sword. Cheese. All sorts of cheese. You could have an entire episode of cheeses.
Taco guns.
And if you guys want to do a really boring cartoon based on three stupid podcasters sitting around.
Not us.
Not us.
A different podcast.
Find a different podcast.
There's only about a thousand of them.
I think three stupid podcasters was out in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, turn that camera off. I've had enough of that guy. Get him out of here.
And, you know, if people were interested in podcasts and animation and me there's a podcast called Kyle and Luke Talk About Toons. And you can sign up to subscribe to hear that podcast at kyleandluke.com.
Guys, they're in the industry. You should probably tune in.
Yeah, they're talking to famous people. And this conversation we've had, they've probably had it already. So just listen to their show instead.
So, yeah. And we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/kyleandluke, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah.
There we
cartoons.
Are.
I'm a Toys R Us
That's
kid.
It. They've covered it all. They've covered it all. It's been great. Kyle, Luke, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Luke, please keep sending in commentary because nobody else does. Kyle, please catch them all on your Pokemon adventure right after this interview is over.
Thank you very much.
So we'll take a break from Luke and Kyle, and we'll be back with more Scope right after this.
You're listening to the Scope. Under the Scope.
We are back with Under the Scope, but really, it's more about coming soon.
I had to find the button.
Thank you.
I'm new, guys. I'm just interning. I don't know how this works.
Adam?
Yeah, hi.
Bring it. Bring that list of pop culture goodness to us. What's coming to
us? This is not a list. This is a list of things that are coming soon.
Okay.
This is not...
There you go. Now you know.
Don't ever say that phrase, and it will cause me... Every time I will...
He's an intern. He doesn't know anything.
These are the things that are soon to be coming.
Okay. Hit us.
Very good, very good.
Week of May 31st through June 6th.
Okay. That's one day before my birthday.
All right. Music. There's musical releases coming out this week, including Florence and the Machine.
She performed on SNL a few weeks back.
Yes.
She's a bit one note when she sings. She's a bit of a bellower, isn't she?
Yes.
Yes. Heather Nova,
back from the 90s.
Back from the 90s, Heather Nova. I don't remember her.
I don't either. Should I know?
You should.
I should.
She was
related to Chevy Nova?
She's no Liz Phair, who has a song called Supernova. Or Oasis, who have a song called Champagne Supernova. I'm moving on.
Okay. I'm looking up Heather Nova
Great.
While you do that.
Major Lazer has a new album coming out. I was just listening to Spotify's top 10 Major Lazer songs this morning, and man, are those good.
It's weird that there's only 9 on that list.
Well, hey, keep it concise. Hmm. Jason Derulo and Young Guns.
New co-host on So You Think You Can Dance. Jason
really?
Derulo. Yeah.
Never heard of it. Young Guns. Not the Western classic, just a band called Young Guns.
So no Emilio Estevez.
No Emilio or Emilio Estevez.
I'm disgusted.
Is there Charlie Sheen?
Yes, he's in that band, actually.
What about Lou Diamond Phillips?
Winning. Movies. We've got the movie release of the summer. I think we're all excited for this one.
Hit me.
Entourage.
We talked about it in depth in our summer movie preview.
Certainly did. We were all excited.
We had about 22 minutes
to say about that. It was really strange, but we did it.
We basically did an entire CBS sitcoms worth of content all about Adrian Grenier.
Mm, nice.
I like how you say that.
Grenier.
Something it flows. Like that, right?
Haley Joel Osment's in that movie. Also coming out this week, Insidious Chapter 3. It's a teen horror-y thriller. I don't know.
And I assume it's the third part of it.
I can't. Maybe there was a prologue before Chapter 1.
Fair enough.
So who knows? A Dedication. Love and Mercy. This is a movie with John Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
And Spy. Mm-hmm. The Melissa McCarthy movie directed and written by Paul Feig. Jason Statham is in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trailers I saw of this looked good. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
At length.
Who knows? Maybe we've seen a sneak preview of this movie.
Home video releases. We have SpongeBob the Movie, Sponge Out of Water, McFarland USA, Focus, Apollo 13 is coming out again, and Camp X-Ray.
It is. In this version of Apollo 13, do they not make it back to Earth?
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Yeah.
Video games. We've got Hatred. This was a game that was announced last year, and it was it's kind of in the postal theme of games. If you guys remember that game from the 90s, where it's like
hyper violence.
Oh, so it's not about delivering letters.
No. Hmm. Well, it is.
It's not about having one person at the counter at the post office with 30 people in line.
It's about going postal.
Because you went on your lunch hour, but they still had to take their lunch at the same time because that makes sense.
Hey, Jared, it sounds like you should sign up for stamps.com. Never need to go
Stamps.
To the post office
/WTF
ever again. Yeah, Mark Maron needs our help. Okay, so video, yeah, so Hatred, Massive Chalice, that's what they called me in high school. Heroes of the Storm comes out of beta. It is now officially available. That is the Blizzard produced MOBA, as that genre of games is called.
I mean, what does that stand for?
Multiplayer online battlefield arena.
Sounds complicated.
So this is like Dota, if you've ever heard of that game.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's like the most popular genre of streaming games.
This is another one of those esports type games.
It is an esport.
Esport.
Dota, League of Legends.
Just sounds like he's having a stroke and just saying, like, I can't even keep up with this guy.
Well, just a lot of letters coming out.
You know, it should make us all feel old to not understand that these are like the most popular games.
I know.
PewDiePie.
I know
who PewDiePie is.
Of course you guys do. PewDiePie After Dark. That's what you subscribe to.
Is that a separate channel?
Yeah. Here's the best game of the week based on name. I'm not making this up. Hyperdimension Neptuna Rebirth 2 Sisters Generation. That is a game coming out for PC.
Sounds like a lot of like Japanese influenced words strung together.
Can I get that on Steam?
I would assume so. Lord of Magna, Made in Heaven. Made in Heaven. Get it? It's like Maiden.
Like a maiden.
But it's Made in Heaven. The Escapist
so she's like cleaning
and
up?
D4. What's... Dark Dreams Don't Die. That was a PS3 release.
People aren't a fan of just actual words anymore with their games. That's just a bunch of letters thrown together.
It's fine.
Well, yeah, like MOBA and Dota and After Dark.
Well, I mean,
V4.
Dota is Defense of the Ancients.
PewDiePie.
Like, there's like the, but I don't think anyone calls them that.
LOL.
League of Legends, yeah. ROFLMAO.
Laugh Out Leeches.
What's next?
There's one other thing to talk about.
Do I got to do something for that?
Intern Jared. Hit.
Thank you,
hit
Jared.
Or miss.
Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
Yes, indeed. It is hit it or miss it. It is my turn, and I think Jared will be on board on my pick.
Thank you, Jared.
I'm doing a miss it, Jared, and it's a home video release, or what are we calling it?
Yep.
Home release.
A release on home video.
This is a movie we...
House arrest. We're calling it a house arrest.
We waited in line for a long time for this film.
We did. Did we? I can't wait to hear what
we
you
did.
Have. You can spark those memories that I'm not having.
And it was a humongo disappointment. Of course, I'm talking about the film Jupiter.
Ooh, Ascending.
Ascending.
Yeah.
It's out on home video. I've been actually seeing... commercial advertisements for this, like
commercial advertisements.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this worth watching at home just to see what it was?
I think some of the production design is really interesting to look at.
But this movie is a mess.
It is kind
of. Is it hard to watch? It's like you just
well,
is
on
it
the
one
big,
of those
on the big screen. It was a hard to watch film. Okay. We rolled our eyes a lot. A lot of.
It seems like it's a movie where like you might be 45 minutes in and you're just like, man. This is like been 2 hours, and then you look at your watch and you realize you're not even halfway through.
That's
how
I felt watching the new Godzilla film.
Well, I felt what Adam felt watching Jupiter Ascending.
I didn't see it yet.
Although it was just, I mean, there's so much going on. There's some very weird acting. There's weird casting.
Editing was suspect.
Yes, it's just, it's a crazy film. I think we gave it a half star.
We did.
So, miss it.
Under the scope.
Did you have more to say on that topic?
No.
Succinct.
We said it all in our review. We pretty much let it happen.
You can look that up.
It's right here.
Right here? Just click right on the
remember,
spot. Right
remember
here.
To follow and like.
Guys, I've even stopped putting the annotations at the end of the video with the next and previous things that I did. The videos are still there. The subscribe button's still there, but the annotations aren't there. Why? Because I check my stats. Nobody ever clicks on them. So why am I wasting time even putting the boxes on screen?
But you can like... and subscribe.
Or comment.
You guys just look like idiots. It's going to be fun.
PewDiePie does it.
PewDiePie does it.
For PewDiePie. PewDiePie has like 23 million subscribers, and he can put the work in.
We should get like
22
million.
Or he probably hired someone to do it for him.
I would take a million subscribers. I would take it.
I would. I wouldn't turn it down.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't kick that out of bed.
No. I either want zero or whatever we really have, or...
We have 106 right now.
We're flying high.
What's the most subscribers?
What's the most?
Yeah.
What's the population of Earth? 7 billion plus?
There you go. Okay, I want that many subscribers. Let's do it, guys.
I mean, with the rate of mobile phone penetration into Africa, there's a lot of potential growth there.
Sounds good.
I like it. Africa or bust. Jared, close this show out.
This is where we would normally read comments, but we didn't have any comments in the last block.
So quiet.
That's okay. It's quiet. It was the last cycle of shows was really a cycle for us. It's for us to sort of kind of find the love again and bond and...
kick the tires.
You know, find out what we love and what we hate. Really, really explore our feelings and grow as human beings.
I like it.
Yeah. If you'd like to comment, you can write in at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. If you feel like you're growing as a person, please share that with us. As always, as we mentioned earlier, if you are a person who has found your way to being famous or notable in some way recently, we'll get you on the show.
Yeah. Maybe you found buried treasure somewhere and you want to tell your story.
You don't need a thing.
Maybe you're a showrunner on one of the hot new FX network shows. We'd like to get you on.
Maybe you binge watched Mad Men.
Really?
And you want to talk about that experience.
From season 1 to season 7, every episode in the course of, we'll say, 7 days or less.
I would take a binge watcher of Perfect Strangers. I would take a binge watcher of...
What about a binge reader? I read a book on vacation.
CSI Miami.
If you binged any sort of media property and you came out a changed person at the other side,
You don't even have to change. Just watch it and tell us about it.
What's it like to have the time to binge watch an entire show? We want to hear about it.
We do.
You can tell us at our Facebook page, on Twitter, on Tumblr. All those links are at our website at thescopeshow.com. Someday it'll be redesigned whenever Shane is done with his personal site. You can also support the show if you'd like.
I didn't ask. Call me Adam.
Who knows? By the time this episode's out, maybe you've done that very thing. If you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon account. That is patreon.com/thescopeshow. It is the crowdfunding platform where you support creators directly. You can sign up for as little as $1 an episode, set a monthly cap, or cancel anytime. But we hope once you're in for a lifetime of enjoyment. You're not going to cancel. That's what we're hoping for.
Yes.
Or if you shop at Amazon, you can go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon. You won't see the link if you have an ad blocker on. But if you don't have an ad blocker on, you'll see a little Amazon graphic there. You click on that. Small part of your purchase goes into our pockets, helps to pay for this show.
FYI, just bought a new basketball, freestanding basketball hoop for my daughter. Yep. I use that link.
Mm. I'll have to check.
I don't know how much we get for that.
Probably about 35 cents, I'm guessing. We'll get more than that.
$100-something purchase,
Jerry. Yeah, no, that's like 4%. We'll get a few bucks out of that.
Yeah, Adam.
That'll help pay for that Skype software I just purchased.
Ooh.
To record some Skype conversations.
I've spent way more than that in the last day.
Jeez. But did you binge watch Family Matters?
I mean, I've been to watch Family Matters on a yearly basis.
It's a tradition.
It's a Christmas thing.
You
want to
keep it
fresh.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good Urkel marathon?
You know who doesn't? Laura. She does not like Urkel. She likes Stefan Urkel.
Does she want to be the new Gurkel?
Gurkel. Jared, this
Shane,
is enough.
Back to you.
All right, guys. So I want to thank Luke Ski. I want to thank TV's Kyle. I want to thank Adam, and I want to thank Jared. I want to thank our listeners and our watchers.
Hey,
it's been a great episode. We'll be back in a few weeks with more scope and more exciting entertainment. So make sure you tune in.
Bye.
Do it, Jared. All right, guys. Over and out. Scope is out. Later. Bye-bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Das Vidania. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.